This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. This is the first day of March of 2012. Glad to have you with us. To come with us and join us on Sports Talk 870 right here on WKAR. We're going to talk a lot of hockey today. We're going to chat first with Neil Koepke and talk about the hockey that's coming up. The CCHA playoffs begin tomorrow night. So let's bring in Neil. Neil, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Earl.
Hey, we got all these playoffs starting. I know Michigan State's not involved in the first round, but when you look at these other games that are starting, Bowling Green at Northern Michigan and Alaska at Lake Superior State and Ohio State at Notre Dame, which team do you think have a better chance of winning or doing some damage in the next round?
I think, Earl, that the team that you might look at as potential upset and sort of upset the apple cart from the top seeds there is Alaska. They're a pretty good team, and they're used to the travel from Alaska to here and getting ready for a series and so forth. So I would think that Alaska and Lake State would be a potential upset. And some of my colleagues are actually predicting that to happen, that Alaska would go in there and win 2 or 3. I'm not so sure, because I think Lake State, even though they stumbled last weekend against Northern, it's a pretty good team, and I think that might be a wake-up call for them. So that'll be an interesting series to keep an eye on. The other two, Earl, Northern Michigan and Bowling Green. Bowling Green hasn't been very feisty, and as you may know, they upset Michigan on Friday in Bowling Green, and then were 0-0 with the Wolverines on Saturday before the Wolverines came back and scored 3 and took control and actually won that game. But Bowling Green's been very very tough to beat the last half of the season. They've improved immensely, even though they finished last. And so a lot of people are saying that, boy, if Northern's not careful, that could be a potential upset, too. About 3 weeks ago, Bowling Green played them in Bowling Green. And even though people tell me that Northern didn't play particularly well, that they did get out of there with a sweep. And a year ago, Northern hosted Bowling Green and got upset. So I think the factor is, Earl, that from last year's playoff series to Northern Michigan's a little bit of a run here, and the fact that Northern is a team that's still high in the pairwise rankings, and potentially if they win this series and, you know, maybe win a game in the next series, they could be still in consideration for an NCAA tournament berth. So there's a lot of incentive for the Wildcats at home against Bowling Green. So I would think the only one might be Alaska, but I would pick the favorites, the home ice teams, and that would be Northern, the 6th seed, Lake State, the 7th seed, and Notre Dame, which we didn't talk about, really is the 8th seed. I really think Notre Dame, by winning against State, got some a little bit of mojo back. And the fact that Ohio State has really taken a tumble just a month ago or so, a month and a half ago, Ohio State was they might have been even ranked number 1 for a bit there, and they were certainly high in the pairwise, and they just had a full-scale second-half collapse, and a lot of that can be probably due to the fact that they play so many freshmen and they weren't used to the run. And once negativity set in there, they couldn't overcome it. So I really don't think Ohio State can go into Notre Dame and win. But again, that would be an interesting series. And I believe that's the game that's on TV this weekend on Saturday. But I would think the favorites will advance, and then that will set up a very high-profile second round.
Now, Neil, I know at the beginning of the year, everyone basically picked a Ferris State to finish 6th, 7th, somewhere, should probably be playing in this first round. What happened? How did Ferris State end up so good winning the CCHA? Why are they such a good team?
Well, that's just it, Earl. They're a team, and they don't have stars. They have some very good players who are playing well. And I think, you know, one of the real shocking things is the fact that Ferris State last year lost 2 All-Americans, their goaltender and a defenseman, Zach Redmond. And Pat Nagel was their goalie, that was a very high-end kid. And yet, you know, Ferris did better this year without the All-Americans. You would think they would have really been an impact last year. And somewhat they were, but this year, with not a lot of expectations and with people filling in the gaps, they found enough overall you know, a good nine forwards and a good five defensemen, and basically rode that. And as they got rolling in January, their team just never stopped. I mean, that loss that they suffered on Saturday night at home against Western was their first loss since late December. So they went on a great run. They were the hottest team in college hockey for a long, long time. And I just think, Earl, it's a team concept. They have a senior goaltender and a freshman goaltender, and they've been excellent. They play great defense. They don't give you much. They certainly don't attack you like, say, the Michigans and the Minnesotas and the Boston Colleges and what Michigan State's trying to do. But they sort of sit back and they play a defensive-style game. Not a lot of you don't get a lot of chances in front of the net, and then they just keep playing. And as the puck keeps going, they try to create the one-time, two-time chances, and they're opportunistic. So they've had a few people on that team emerge with like a couple kids that had very few goals last year. They're their leading scorers now with 11, 12, 15 goals. And, you know, considerations for all-star teams and so forth. So they're not a team for the stars. People still question how they will do when they get in bigger spotlight, when they get into the CCHA tournament in Detroit, if they get there, and most people think they will. But then after that, they're a lock to make the NCAAs, as we know from the pairwise. And even if they lost in the first round, they'd still get in. But then it's a matter of their talent going against a top 10, 12 team again, and can they match up that well against those guys in a tournament setting in which maybe they're not used to? So that's the big question. I'd like to see them have a great run in the playoffs, because obviously that's their feather in their cap and pushes their program to a new height and new notoriety. So that will be good to see a well-known team do well in the NCAAs. And there are teams that have done that before, obviously. And Ferris has been there before. This is the second time they won the title. And the last time they were in the NCAAs, or maybe the second last time, they did win a game against North Dakota and lost against Minnesota at Minnesota. So that was a great run in 1993 when they had Chris Kunitz as the Hobey Baker Award. So they've had some great happenings at their school. It just doesn't happen that often. And like a school like that, whether it's Lake State or whether it's Union or Merrimack, some of the other sort of like non-publicized type of teams and schools, they can do it for a little bit, but they can't really sustain it. But just the fact that they've been able to get back in the hunt and beat out of Miami, beat out of Notre Dame, and beat out of Michigan is certainly a great thing for that school.
Yeah, Neil, I know over the years we've seen it in all sports, from time to time, where a team would just come out of nowhere and go on a run. We've seen Michigan State have done that a few times. But, I know it doesn't happen all the time, but it is fun when you see a team just basically come from nowhere and win a title.
Sure, it's like the mid-majors in college basketball, the Butlers and the George Masons and so forth, and they become sort of like the Cinderella team to the college world. You know, they follow them, and you get your naysayers that they're not that good, they don't play a tough schedule. But in Ferris State's case, I mean, they played everybody in the CCHA, and they beat the Spartans, and they beat Notre Dame like 3 or 4, and they've done well against Miami, and they swept Miami this year early, and so full credit to them, because they're playing some of the top teams, and no one says they're a great team. But I think the key, Earl, is in college hockey this year, there's no really great teams. There's some very good teams and some teams to watch, but I don't think there's that Lynchkin team, like, say, in college basketball, you've got Kentucky, and everyone thinks that's the team. They've got to stumble to lose it. But there's nobody in college hockey you can actually pinpoint and say that's the team that should be in the Frozen and should win it all. It's really wide open, and that's what makes Michigan State and certainly Michigan and several other schools very, very eager to get to Detroit and get an NCAA berth and see what happens, because it's pretty wide open. It should be one of the most competitive and fun tournaments that we've had in a while.
Hey, Neil, well, let's turn to the National Hockey League. What team would you say in the National Hockey League might come out of nowhere and surprise and do some damage if they get to the tournament?
Well, I'm not sure they come out of nowhere, because right now they're making their push, but I don't think a lot of people realize just how good the St. Louis Blues are. I mean, I watched them last night, again on the road. This time they were in Edmonton. 2 days ago they were in Calgary. Last week they were in Winnipeg. And this team is amazing. I mean, I'm rooting against them because I want to see the Wings finish, you know, in first place and get that number one, two, or three seed. But I'm seeing the St. Louis Blues right now playing about as well as anybody. And probably, I mean, I could even see, you could make a point where they are right now better than the Red Wings, or at least as good. And it's going to be interesting to see just how this plays out. But that is one good team. You know, you have the favorites. You have your Vancouvers, and you have your New York Rangers and Boston Bruins. And you know, another team that may come out of nowhere, it's like St. Louis, and it's probably losing a lot of notoriety because of St. Louis's a little bit of rise, and that's the Nashville Predators. They made some very good deals at the end of the trading deadline here just on Monday, and they're set for a pretty good run. So you've got, like, Detroit, St. Louis, Nashville, and the Blackhawks, who have struggled late, but they have potential to get it back. So that's four good teams in one division that are probably going to be in the Western playoffs, and that's half of the playoff pool there for the West. And out East, you know, I mean, a team that's I mean, you can't say anybody is really a squeaker. I think the Ottawa Senators might be your Eastern team that might be able to provide that shock level, because they have had a great season. They were supposed to finish out of the playoffs, below Toronto, below a lot of teams. Paul McLean, the former Red Wings assistant, is the coach. And a lot of people thought that Paul is a great guy, but he might be too nice to coach in the NHL, and will the players listen? Well, he's shown that his voice has been heard, and they're players that have struggled the last 2 years. I mean, this is supposed to be a rebuilding-type season turnaround, and as it turned out, they're right now 2 points away from the Bruins for the lead in the in that conference, or that division. So I think that Ottawa would be your team out East, and once you get into the Stanley Cup Finals, then it really becomes a different game and all that. So a lot of things that happen during the regular season are put out of hold. And people will say, yeah, but can St. Louis do it under the spotlight? You know, sort of like we did, say, with Ferris State, that pressure. But I really like the way the Blues are playing, and I really fear them when the Red Wings get in the playoffs. I mean, everyone looks at Vancouver as the Red Wings' nemesis. Well, they might not even get to Vancouver. Nashville and St. Louis are right there, and I wish they'd go away because they're pretty good teams.
Hey, Neil, I'm looking at the standings right now, and I see Edmonton in last place. Now, you know, you and I went through all those great years with Wayne Gretzky and the great teams they had, and I know they've fallen on hard times somewhat, but do you see Edmonton getting it back any time in the near future?
Yes, I do, because they've drafted so well. And, of course, that's the result of lots of low finishes. You know, they're still... I thought they'd probably be better than they are. They're still better than Columbus, and they're last in their division, so it's one thing. So they're not going to get the number one draft pick this year. And they're probably better than the Islanders and a few other teams here and there. And yet they've got such a core of young players that they just need to keep on track building. And, you know, they could use a shutdown defenseman. That's for sure part of their issue. Last year they drafted a player by the name of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who they might have gone for a defenseman and build it that way, but they went for the other four. So they're loaded with forwards that are like elite-level players. And you know, it's fun to follow the Oilers, Earl, because they have three Spartans on their team, and that's Sean Horcroft, the veteran, who's been there for a long, long time. And then a pair of defensemen, Jeff Petrie and Corey Potter. Corey Potter, who's from Mason, Okemos area. And Corey wasn't even supposed to stick. He signed as a free agent primarily to go to their minor league team and be a backup for injuries and so forth. Well, he played so well in camp that he stuck. I think he went down for a brief period, but they brought him back up, and last night he even scored the goal in that St. Louis game. And Corey Potter's on the power play now, and it's just amazing to watch Petrie. And Petrie, who's considered an elite-level player, or going to be, and Potter, who's considered a pretty good player, better than expected. But I think they need a big shutdown defenseman or just an elite-level defenseman. And then their defense will catch up to their forwards, and then they've got to probably hope that their goaltending rises. But to me, that's a team that in 2 years, Earl, I think is going to be back on the top of the Western Conference.
Okay. Hey, Neil, I want to thank you for joining me. You know, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I know you've got a ton of hockey knowledge, and we'll have you back again real soon.
Well, Earl, it's playoff time, and for yes. college hockey people and soon the NHL, that's the best time of the year. And obviously with the Spartans going to Miami in a week and a half or week or so, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how, after the great regular season they've had, just how they do, you know, in the playoffs. Because right now they could get an NCAA bid, but as you know, Earl, the way to do it is keep on winning.
And that's right.
You get good results and you get good endings, and you don't rely on any computer or any type of tournament committee to make sure that you're there. If you win it and keep winning and get a good record, well, that's all you can do. And then if they do get in the tournament, that will be an outstanding feat. But we shall see what happens next week.
Okie doke. Hey, thanks a lot, Neil. Thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Neil Koepke from Spartan Mag, Spartan Blogger with Michigan State. And we'll talk more sports right here on AM 870 WKAR after we take this short break.
Sites like Google and Facebook track where you click. Stores like Target know what you buy. All that information could wind up in a giant database and affect everything from the coupons you get to the mortgage you're offered. I'm John Donvan. What companies know about you? And does it matter? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Cloudy skies for the rest of the day today and a high near 41. The clouds stick around tonight. We'll see a low in the upper 20s. Then a chance of rain on Friday and a high temperature around 50 degrees. Cloudy on Saturday with a chance of snow and highs in the 30s. I'm Kevin Lavery.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, you can also listen to us or pick us up on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. You can follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter right here on AM870. WKAR. And now let's go talk a little bit more hockey with the voice of Spartan Hockey, Scott Moore. Scott, how you doing?
Boy, this is just hockey day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This is my day in hockey. Hockey heaven.
Well, it is the season, as they say, with the playoffs starting this weekend.
Yes, it is. The playoffs are starting. And what do you think? As you heard Neil saying, they don't, you know, if Michigan State can win, they'll get into the playoffs. Now, do you think that they'll get into the hockey? Do they have to win two more games, or do you think four more games to ensure themselves a bid in the NCAA tournament?
To ensure themselves a bid, I think they got to win twice. Michigan State, I think, needs to be playing in Detroit in 2 weeks, or in 3 weeks, rather, in order to ensure themselves a bid. Things could go their way depending on what happens around them, but just like Neil said, just win, baby.
Yeah, cause that's what we say about all sports. Yeah, you can only do what you can, and if you win, you definitely enhance your chances, but you don't want to put it in somebody else's hands, do you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to make next weekend very, very difficult, because you got to go down to Miami and face a team that knocked you off twice during the regular season. So, you know, the Spartans are going to have their hands full.
Yeah, why is Miami so good? They've gotten to be a pretty good team this year.
Well, they have very good talent, and it was more of a surprise the way that they started out the season and kind of fell apart in November and December. Things just weren't going their way. They weren't getting the bounces, whatever. When we saw them in early January, their record was not good. They were down in the lower half of the league, and everybody was surprised about it because they were supposed to finish up near the top of the league. But they did turn things around here down the stretch and started putting some wins together. They've got excellent goaltending. They've got Connor Knapp has kind of carried the load for him here in the second half of the season, but Cody Reichert has taken them to an NCAA tournament. A Frozen Four. Connor Knapp has taken them to a Frozen Four. So either one of them is able to get the job done, and they're just a big physical team.
Do you see any upsets in the first round? Bowling Green in Northwood, Michigan, or Alaska, Lake Superior, or Ohio State, Notre Dame? Any upsets there?
I've been looking at that first round of the playoffs and looking at Alaska and Lake Superior. That one could very easily go three games. The two teams played in Alaska not too long ago, and they split the series. Lake Superior is a pretty good team at home. But both have very good goaltenders in Scott Grenham and, I'm drawing a blank on Lake Superior's goaltender's name, Kevin Kapalski, I think his name is. And they both are very, very good. So that one could go three, but I think Lake Superior being at home, that favors them. So I would say Lake Superior probably in three on that one. Bowling Green at Northern Michigan, this is a rematch from last year, when Bowling Green beat Northern Michigan in the first round and advanced to second round play. That ain't going to happen again this year. Northern Michigan just played them not too long ago again and swept them. Even though Bowling Green came up big against Michigan last weekend, I just don't see the Falcons being able to go on the road on the big ice sheet and handle Northern Michigan, especially based on the fact that Northern Michigan bowed to them last year. Walt Kyle will have those guys up and ready to go. The odd series is Ohio State at Notre Dame, because that one, Notre Dame was supposed to be in a first-round bye situation and contending for the league regular season championship, and at the midway point of the season, Ohio State was in first place in the league. Now both of them are playing in the first round and playing each other as the 8-9 split. And neither of them have been playing particularly well down the stretch. So if Stephen Summerhays plays anything like what he did against us last Friday night, then Notre Dame has no issues. But if he doesn't, then this one could go three games, and it could be 3-1-0 wins all the way around. Who knows?
Neil, I know you've been watching a lot of college hockey for a lot of years. Do you see a difference in play from teams during the regular season and how they play in the playoffs, or is it basically the same?
It might ratchet up a notch when you get into the playoffs, but the season is so long, it's so drawn out, that the way a team is playing in the last couple of games of the regular season is about where they're going to be. The only real exception that I've seen in that over the past few years, was it 2 years ago when Michigan got just hotter than Moses right at the end of the season and came into Michigan State after the Spartans had a first-round bye and swept the Spartans out of the playoffs and went into the NCAA tournament by winning the CCHA tournament, the only way they could have made it into the NCAA tournament. So that was a situation where, a team got hot, a goaltender got hot, and they rode it. But for the most part, what you see is what you get with these guys. You know pretty much what they have at this point in the season.
Yes, and when you look at players and say they're good, they could be or have the potential to be good NHL players. How much of that help is when Tom's talks about his potential guys playing at the next level? How much does that factor in when you're seeing them, what they're doing at the collegiate level, especially when they get into the tournament situation?
Well, it's a mentality thing at that point. You look at a player when they're in a one-and-done situation, as you are from the point that you start the CCHA Final Four on through the NCAA tournament, where you have to win to keep going. That's where you see the difference in the kids that are NHL quality talent and the kids that aren't. And you just look at Justin Abdelkader, Tim Kennedy, guys like that have made it into the NHL and have been there for a while now. David Booth even. You look at the way that they performed in playoff games and in big games when their teams pointed to them and said, here, I'm going to give you the puck, you lead us, and they certainly did.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517 for your chance to register and win tickets for MSU basketball. We had a question called in, Scott, for you saying, what are some of the best arenas in CCHA hockey?
The best arenas in the CCHA. Well, obviously, I like playing at Munn Ice Arena because it's familiar, and really for an arena that is as old as Munn is, it still is in incredibly great shape. But as far as the other arenas around the league, we just went down to Notre Dame for the first time, and the setup at the Compton Family Ice Arena is fantastic. I mean, they did a great job there. The new arena down at Miami, where we'll be next weekend, is set up very, very nicely. Both of those are newer buildings. As far as the older, more established buildings, actually the Taffy Able Arena up in the Sioux is not a bad place to watch a hockey game. They made some renovations to it about 15, 20 years ago, and it still is standing up very, very nicely. And the Schottenstein Center down in Columbus, good sight lines and plenty of seats available because, there's just so many seats in that building. Probably my all-time favorite place to call a game, though, is up in Minnesota at Mariucci Arena, where we'll be headed next year and then every year after that as the Big Ten Hockey Conference gets underway. That's just a fantastic place to work.
Do most arenas have good sight lines, or do you have run into a few of them that have pretty poor sight lines?
You run into a few that will challenge you, and I'm looking at it from a different point of view than the fan is. When we go up to Ferris up in Big Rapids, great arena, great crowd, and all that, but it's a challenge to work in because it's got this low ceiling and it's got huge, thick beams that support the low ceiling, and from my vantage point, I can't see the scoreboard. Now, a few years ago, they put in a clock over on the far wall because there's only seating on both ends and one side of the Avoglavin Arena up there in Big Rapids. So they put a clock on one wall, and wouldn't you know it, from my vantage point, there's a stanchion for the glass in front of the minutes numbers. So it makes it real difficult to tell how much time is left in the period.
Yeah, they make you work a little bit for your
money.
And
you really can't tell how much time is left in a penalty unless you bend over and look at it from countertop height. So, there are some places that will challenge you.
Okay. Got a caller for you. We have Bill in Lansing. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks, Earl. Scott, I got a question for you. I hope to ask a question a little bit earlier today, but I've noticed this year, I've seen on a couple different occasions, and only in the CCHA, I don't recall seeing it outside of the CCHA, where a team scores on a delayed penalty, and then they get to have a power play after that. So when did they change that, and what was their thinking?
I think that rule change happened 2 years ago. The NCAA hockey rules are on a 2-year cycle. So they publish a book and change the rules, and then in the off year, they'll talk about proposed changes for the next year. So that one's been in effect for 2 years, and that is an NCAA rule. That's not just CCHA.
Well, that is NCAA.
Yeah, and the reason that they did it was that what was happening and what happens in the professional ranks, all that, is that a penalty has been called, and just because the other team scores, the team that committed the penalty doesn't have to pay the price for committing the penalty. Now, you can argue that, they have the opportunity to take their goaltender off the ice because as soon as the other team touches it, the play is dead, but how often do you actually get that goaltender pulled and get into a situation where you are 6-on-5? So they said, if there's a penalty, let's enforce the penalty regardless of what happens between the point in time where the penalty was called and the play goes dead. So that's why they decided to change that rule.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the cases where I've seen it, though, the other team has had six skaters and scored. You know, in that situation, you know, you're punishing the team that's being penalized twice. You know, if the team that's about to go on the power play scores and then they go on the power play and score again.
Right. Yeah, it's not a perfect rule, but you know, there are, I would say probably, you know, there are more times in a season that you get that delayed call, and if the goal is scored, it's before you get that sixth ban on the ice. So they just figured, you know, if it's a penalty, we're going to enforce the penalty regardless of what happens.
Is there any chance you think that they'll take a look at that again now that it's been in effect for 2 years?
They always, you know, everything is up for grabs in a situation like that. So, you know, they may look at it, they may rescind it, but I haven't heard anybody really complaining about it. So I think that rule is probably in to stay.
All right, thanks a lot, Scott.
You got it.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Scott, I wanted to know, just out of curiosity, do you like the way the CCHA has got this playoff set up and it's been going on? I know they've tweaked it from time to time. How do you like it? Is it good or bad, or could they have done something different?
Well, the big question with the playoffs is, you know, should everybody make the playoffs? And you know, everybody likes to have a shot at redemption if they've had a bad span of the season. You know, if a key player got injured and has to sit out for a while or whatever, you know, everybody wants a chance to come back from that. So so you know, should everybody make the playoffs? I don't know. It's a long regular season, but you have seen things like Bowling Green last year beating Northern Michigan in the first round. You saw it in College Hockey America back in 2007 when Alabama Huntsville made it through their conference tournament and got the automatic bid as College Hockey America was falling apart around it. As far as the way they do it, it probably is the best way you can do it if you're going to include everybody in the playoffs. It's a little bit awkward having, you know, teams 4 and 5 both have a week off and then knowing for 2 weeks that that's who you're going to play. But just with the numbers game in the league, with it being an 11-team league and wanting to put everybody in it, this is probably the best way to do it.
I know if a team gets hot, especially near the end of the season, and whether it's college or the pro game, if you have a hot goalie, they can carry you a long, long way, can't they?
Oh, they sure can. Yeah, and again, I point to what Michigan did 2 years ago with Sean Hunwick when he stepped in favor of Brian Hogan and ran them all the way through the CCHA playoffs and into the NCAA tournament, and they did quite well with him. And, you know, we've seen since then that Sean Hunwick is a pretty good goaltender for a kid who was a walk-on, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, you get a good goaltender, and you can ride that one for quite a ways.
Well, I know before I let you go here, I know the Spartans, they got a big one coming up against Miami of Ohio next week. So best of luck to them. And one more last thing.
Okay.
How do you like that series? I mean, how do you like Michigan State to win going down there? I know it's always tough on the road. So what's Michigan State's chances of actually winning on the road down there?
Michigan State is going to have to play just about error-free hockey down there on the road because, you know, the Miami fans will be up. You know, they're going to be into it. You know, there's kind of a resurrection down there from what was happening in the first half of the season, and they've got the great senior goaltending duo that they're going to be saying goodbye to. So, you know, these guys are going to be up. They're going to be up for it, and they're going to go in knowing that they picked up 2 wins against Michigan State. But remember, the first of those 2 wins back on, January 3rd, I think it was, the first of those 2 wins was in overtime. And they got the overtime game winner because one of the Spartan players had blown a coverage on the play and gave up the puck in a bad situation. So, you know, the Spartans know that they can skate with these guys. It'll be very interesting to see how they can do over the course of a three-game series. I think if they can win that Friday night game, then you got a chance at it. Obviously, if they don't win the Friday night game, they're going to have to bring it and leave everything they have on the ice on Saturday.
Okay. Hey, always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and good to talk to you again. And we'll talk more about the upcoming CCHA playoffs, and we'll probably talk about the playoffs while they're going on.
Hey, give me a call anytime, Earl.
Okay, Scott. Talk to you later, buddy.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Scott Moore talking hockey with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
In 1942, in eastern Poland, a dozen Nazi soldiers put down their guns and refused to kill. So often we hear stories of people who commit almost inhuman atrocities. A new book looks at the other side. The people, and there are many of them, who don't just stand by, they speak up. I'm John Donvan. Why We Speak Out. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon and thanks for joining us. I'm Kevin Lavery. The forecast for the rest of the day, cloudy skies and a high near 41. The clouds remain tonight. We'll see a low in the upper 20s. Then a chance of rain on Friday, a high around 50 degrees. Cloudy on Saturday with a chance of snow and highs in the 30s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball, we'll be giving those tickets away at the end of today's show, 353-5000. Call 353-5000, area code 517, to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball on Sunday against Ohio State, game time 4 o'clock. Once again, 353-5000, area code 517. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk a little LCC Community College basketball with head coach Mike Ingram. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you, I know this playoff format has changed. It used to be, I know you had the state tournament, and then you had to go to the regional tournament. It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, about 2 years ago, the tournament format changed to, conference champions from the East, and the West would play for the state championship. And it was really funny because we had been so dominant in the conference. And then the last couple of years, I think 2 years ago, we were 14-2, and a team beat us at 15-1. And then last year, we were 13-3, and team was 14-2. And we had to go 15-1 this year to win it. So we're going to represent the Western Conference and play Mott, who's representing the Eastern Conference. Saturday at 3 o'clock at our place. You know, Mott's ranked number one in the country. They've been ranked there all year, but we're just moving up there now. We've gotten back in the rankings a little bit ourselves.
Now how do they settle who plays gets the home court advantage? Is that settled all before? Or does it settle during the season?
It flip-flops every year.
Okay.
You know, 1 year the Western Conference hosts it, then next year the Eastern, and this year is our year to host. So, I think that's a good way to do it. It goes to the winning team of each conference.
Okay. Now, you've told me that Mott is really good. What makes them so good? Why are they such a good team?
You know what? You got a good coach. They've got a lot of a great tradition and history for being good. A lot of teams back down on that. We traditionally don't. I think that for the most part, we've been splitting with them the past few years. This year, you know, they've beaten us twice, but, you know, both times that they beat us, I actually didn't think that, you know, we could beat them the way we were playing. I thought that we would have to play, you know, really good. And, you know, they smashed us both times. But I think that we've really improved as a team. I think that We've really improved defensively. There was a time where the only thing we could do was score, you know, and if we were scoring, we were playing great. But now, if we're not scoring, we can, it looks like we can lock down. It looks like we can battle if we have to, and that's what we've done past five or six games.
And that, of course, is always a plus. When did you see the team really starting to take on that defense? I know you preach defense, but when did you think they really started taking it on and taking it to heart?
Yeah. Hey, you know, one more thing I want to tell you about Matt is that I think that they've had so many moments, you know, out there playing in big games that it kind of has turned into an advantage for them. And so I think that we're going to have our moment because we've had great crowds also. But I've seen it start turning around for us during Christmas. We put Alex Archambault into the lineup, and I had told a couple friends that if we moved him into the lineup that we might not lose again. You know, I thought that he was just what we needed, the type of player that I like to have that plays inside, a kid that can, you know, push the ball up, a kid that can rebound it, a kid that can score inside, you know, and a guy that can catch it, you know. And I thought that that's what we were, you know, missing. You know, he transferred from JCC, and while his transfer was going through, had to sit like three or four games while we were getting all his information correct. And then once he got going, we slowly had to get him ready to play. But I really thought that once he got in the lineup, I was just talking to a friend today, and I was telling him, he said to me, he said, Mike, you told me if Alex moved into the lineup that you guys might not lose another game.
And that's been pretty good. One guy I wanted to talk to you that you had to play against the last couple of years was Doug Anderson, who's now down in Detroit. And as you know, he got so much publicity from the state tournament when he was in high school as being such a fantastic dunker. I just wanted to ask you, is there more to Doug Anderson's game than just being a ferocious dunker? Because he certainly has that reputation.
I think so. You know, I think Doug is he's number one. He's a great athlete. He's in great shape. He's got good size. I think they list him at about 6'6". You know, some days Doug looks like a pro because, you know, an NBA player because he can, you know, run and jump. You know, he has a nice shot. He can check up. You know what I mean? But he does like to dunk the ball. I know that when we played them, that we had pretty good success against him because I just told my guys that when he when the ball went up to turn and run at him, don't try and box him out, because if they tried to box him out, he would get around you and slam. And I always thought that teams got such a great lift from his slams. And so we usually have pretty good success against him with that. I've seen him a couple times down in Detroit, and one time I seen him play great. One time he didn't play so well. But talking to the coaches the other day, they said that, you know, he had his best game the other night when they won the tournament. Doug's a good player. I like Doug. He's a nice kid, too. He's a nice young man, too.
Mike, when you're out there on the recruiting trails, and I see you at a few places, is it difficult to recruit for you and for your school? Or I mean, there's so many good high school players in the area. You would like to think you'd have your choice of them, but we know that's not possible. But so, how is on the recruiting trail? Is it difficult talking kids into coming to LCC?
Yes, sometimes it is. I mean, a lot of times it's tough because, you know, we don't get a lot of coverage, you know, and I try to tell the guys that, you know, I try to tell the television stations and the state journals, and fortunately for us, you really try to stay on top of us, that it helps us in recruiting because kids like to know that when they go to college, especially here in Lansing, that you're going to hear from them. And, you know, you're talking about a group of kids from Lansing. Like, you know, we won this conference this year, and we won it with, you know, all kids from the Lansing area. I'm really proud of that. I always like the idea of when we get introduced at places or we get introduced at home, that all the kids, you know, that, hey, this is Cameron Sanchez from Lansing Eastern. This is Montel Smith from Lansing Waverly. You know what I mean? And so that's always real important, you know, to me. And so when we win championships, you know, I always feel like, you know, we're winning them with the Lansing kids. I always have, and that's why, you know, even state championship game is important to us, and getting to the Nationals, because, you know, we've done it. When we do that, and if we do it, we've done it with Lansing kids. And you know what? And we're getting kids that are interested in you know, playing, you know, here, you know, for us. But, you know, we do what we have to do. We're a good program, and we're a great school academically. And so, you know, if kids want to have success, they'll come here. Because, you know, when I recruit myself, a kid calls me from out of town, and if they have a school, a junior college in town, I always try to encourage them, you know, you should stay home. It would be easier.
Yes, and that's another thing. If a kid, say, has that desire to go to leave your program after 1 year, do you encourage those kids, or do you want them to stay? I know you probably want them to stay too, but what about those kids who just have a desire to go, you know, someplace else or go to a bigger school after 1 year?
Oh, yeah. If a kid gets an opportunity to move on and he can do it, I never try to hold a kid back. You know, there's been kids that I've, you know, let go. We signed a kid a couple years ago, a great player. And, you know, before he got here, a school that had recruited him, Division III, their assistant coach got a job at an NCAA Division I school and offered him. And the kid was, oh, coach, you know, I signed with you. And I said, no, this is a better offer. This is a better offer. You take that offer. You know what I mean? I never try to hold kids back. And then, so actually, when I talk to kids and I'm recruiting them, you know, I tell them, I try to tell their parents, you know, you can be honest with me and tell me what's going on with you. If it's a better offer, I'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to take that.
And that's good, Mike. Hey, I want to thank you for being with us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And best of luck, because you've got a tough game. Well, let me ask you, Bo, one more question about what will it take for you to beat Mott on Saturday?
I think that we would have to get off to a good start, number one, and I think that's where I'm going to come in. And I think that as a coaching staff and as a team now, that we have a lot of confidence in each other and what we're saying to each other. And I think that I told the guys the other day after we won the championship, I got you guys from here on out. I got you guys. I'm not going to let you guys down. There's a couple things that coaches can do to try and control the game. But I think it's real important that, you know, hey, we don't fall behind 10-0 or 12-0. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That when we look up with 15 minutes ago, that it's a tie game or a two-point game, or we're up 10. You know what I mean? And I just think that that's going to be a key. So we're going to be trying to do everything that we can to make sure that we get off to a good start. But that said, I think we've gotten past, you know, falling behind and not being able to battle back. I think this team can battle back. We're getting more better effort from guys, you know, off the bench. So I got a lot of confidence going with every button that I'm pushing that is working right now.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. And best of luck to you and the LCC's team coming up on Saturday.
Thanks, Earl.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Mike. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Mike Ingram. And remember, their game is Saturday at 3 o'clock at LCC against Mott Community College for the State Championship of Michigan. So get over there if you can, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Hey, we want to tell you we only got a couple of minutes left. If you just have a chance to make a quick call, you can call in and register for your chance to win tickets. We'll be giving those tickets away in a few minutes, about 5 or 6 minutes before 2 o'clock. So if you want to give it in a quick call, you can call us at 353-5000, 353-5000. We'll give those tickets away in a few minutes right here on AM 870 WKAR. So you can do that, and we'll let you know who's won the tickets. We'll be giving away 2 pair of tickets today. So hopefully you've already got yourself in, and it doesn't matter if you've gotten in early, if you got in yesterday, we'll put them all together, and we'll give you a chance to win the tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. And of course, on Sunday is the game, the biggest game, Michigan State and Ohio State, coming up on Sunday, 4 o'clock. That'll be for the Big Ten Championship. Michigan State can win an outright Big Ten Championship with a win. If they lose to Ohio State, they'll be tied with Ohio State. And of course, if Michigan, they can be tied with both teams. So it's a possibility right now, but we know for sure If Michigan State loses, they'll be tied for the Big Ten championship. So I know a lot of you who will be there will be checking out that game. Be pulling for the Spartans to win an outright Big Ten championship. You don't get a chance to win it outright very rarely. Those do happen from time to time. And Michigan State certainly has a chance that you can if you want to go to the game or if you watch it on the tube, they've got a chance to win it. But that's Sunday at 4:00, Michigan State playing Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship. And we just got a few more minutes left here on WKAR, and we'll talk about the upcoming game, and we'll talk about your chance, and we'll tell you shortly about who wins the tickets for the Ohio State game. We've got 2-pair giveaway, and we'll tell you the winners shortly right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we've got, one more call coming in, and we've got John from Holt. John, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, you going to the Sexton and Kalamazoo Central game tonight, or are you going to hold the
Knights
and Catholic? What game
are
you going to?
No, I'm going to go to that Sexton Kalamazoo game tonight.
You're a real homer when it comes to Sexton, man. I know how you are, man. It's all right, though. Sexton's a great team.
Hey, I go around to a lot of games. They're just one of the teams I see.
Hey, what's the point for that Sexton game? About Sexton by about 10 or so, man?
I don't know. It might be. It's hard to say. You have to call Tim Stout. Tim Stout makes the point spreads.
Exactly. Hey, I think Texas is going to win that game by about 10. And the upset of the night is going to be Holt over Lansing Catholic. They're going to win by about 5 points over Lansing Catholic.
Well, they could.
You're going to hear it first, John from Holt, man.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, John. Yeah. Well, I picked earlier in the week, I picked the Lansing Catholic to win that one. I'll stick with that Lansing Catholic chance of beating Holt. But right now, well, we've got a chance to talk about who's going to the game on Sunday, that is. So, Aaron, who's going? Got the tickets for the game?
Yeah, well, this is going to be a great game. So these people are going to be extremely happy. We got David from Lansing,
okay,
and Larry from Hazlitt.
Well, congratulations, Larry and David, and we'll be giving you a call right after the show is over and tell you where you can come and pick those tickets up at. So congratulations, guys. You're going to the Ohio State-Michigan State game coming up on Sunday. Well, let me see. How do you feel about this game coming up, Aaron? What's your thoughts on this game between Ohio State and Michigan State?
Yeah, well, my opinion would have been different if the outcome of the game from the other night would have changed. I think they're going to be ready. You know, the game the other night, tough place to play, obviously, but they're going to be ready to play. They want it. They don't, because right, if they win it, they win the title outright, right? Yeah, right. So you know, they're hungry for it. Green wants it. I know that. So they're going to be prepared. It's going to be a close game, though. After was it last night? Ohio State had a close call with Northwestern there. You know, they're up and down right now, and so I feel like Michigan State should be able to pull through, but it's going to be close. I think Ohio State's going to be ready for this one. This is probably going to be they're going to show up and play.
Okay. Well, I'll take a little different tact on that one. I think Michigan State's going to win it. I think they're going to win it pretty easily.
Really?
I don't think it will be that close. I think this you could be looking at a 9 to 10 point win in this game. It could even be a little longer. Ohio State just hasn't been playing that well right now. So I'm thinking that they just barely held on and beat Northwestern last night. I was watching that one.
Yeah, that's true. And so what's weird, though, is I know they're a lot better than they play.
Yeah, they are.
And but it's at home. It's the last. Green's going to, who knows, he could score 50 points for all we know. So, yeah, you're right. It could be. But I think it's going to be a closer game, but we'll see.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, fans, I know I always like to see a close game. I prefer watching a close game than a blowout or a game that just has a lot of downtime in it. So let's hope it's a good game and Michigan State pulls it out. But it could be an easy game, which fans, they don't mind it if it's an easy game because they like to see a win. Well, hey, we want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. And tomorrow, we're going to talk one of my favorite subjects. We're going to talk boxing tomorrow with one of the best heavyweights in the United States, former Michigan State linebacker Seth Mitchell will join us tomorrow, and we'll talk boxing with Seth. And right now, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back tomorrow right here and join us on radio station WKAR from Michigan State University. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock on AM 870, Michigan State Radio, WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.